It is my honor to be in the land of the great Cuban Revolution, and as well to be in the presence of each one of you from whom I have learned so much in the last 5 days. I am further honored to be able to speak to you about the responsibility of black youth to embrace and fulfill the legacy of Malcolm X, with specific regard to the struggle to save the Audubon. The Black Consciousness Movement has as its aim, at this point in the development of the struggle of our people, the political education and training of ourselves and our peers into revolutionary cadre. We believe that this must be rooted in the principle of self-determination and in the dialectical relationship between study and theory and practice. We are fortunate to have as our immediate mentors a group of people with a long history of commitment to struggle, leaders in the December 12th movement. Continuum of struggle is key to our movement as we attempt to understand the influences of the Garvey movement, the Muslim movement, the Cuban Revolution, the African independence period, the Black Pride movement, the Civil Rights movement, the Black Power movement, the anti-imperialist movement, Malcolm X, the Black Panther Party, the South African Black Consciousness movement, the anti-apartheid struggle, Black integration, and now again, a rising tide of resistance. Conversely, we observe our relationship to the state in the form of J. Edgar Hoover's FBI, COINTELPRO, the Black Desk, the Joint Terrorist Task Force, and now the rise of fascism inside bourgeois democracy. Our goal to educate our youth, ourselves, is also rooted in the political training process of action, wherein we attempt to identify issues, conflicts, struggles, which can expose the sharpest contradictions with which we are faced inside racist U.S. monopoly capital imperialism. One such issue, particularly germane to this conference in its direct relationship to Malcolm X, is the struggle to save the Audubon Ballroom, where Malcolm X and the Organization for Afro-American Unity had a base to educate our people from 1964 to 1965, and where Malcolm was assassinated February 21st, 1965. Columbia University has presented for New York City approval a proposal to construct a $25 million for-profit experimental biochemical research complex using $18 million in public funds. This project requires the destruction of the Audubon Ballroom at 166th Street and Broadway, directly across the street from Columbia University Presbyterian Hospital. The conviction of the immediate community, the majority of whom are people of African descent and from the Dominican Republic, is that the Audubon must be preserved and restored as a monument to our slain hero, Malcolm X. His struggle for liberation of African peoples in particular and oppressed peoples in general left a legacy of self-determination which must be fulfilled. It is a direct manifestation of Malcolm's legacy that we defend ourselves from the onslaught of Columbia University's racist policies of gentrification and genocide in our community. It is also in his spirit that we lay claim to our history of struggle and resistance and decide for ourselves who our heroes are and how they are to be commemorated. Our struggle to save the Audubon is being waged on all fronts by any means necessary. First and foremost, the masses of people around the city to whom the legacy of Malcolm X speaks are being mobilized for action to stop the Audubon Research Park project. We formed the Malcolm X Coalition to Save the Audubon Ballroom, from which to organize the grassroots and those whose particular concerns about issues such as the architectural integrity of the Audubon structure, environmental hazards posed by the project, community displacement, and other such issues that individuals were concerned about, prompted them to join our ranks as well. The demands put forward by the people are simple, straightforward, and non-negotiable. The city of New York must not approve the disposition or the 99-year lease of the Audubon site, must not rezone the area from residential to commercial, and must not grant the special permit to Columbia University needed to build an experimental research facility, which is currently illegal inside the city limits. The Landmarks Preservation Commission must officially designate the Audubon Ballroom a national historic landmark and make available appropriate monies for its restoration. The Audubon Ballroom must be developed by and for the people as an international multicultural community center. The first funding sources we'll consider will be from those public agencies which were so willing to give our money to Columbia University. A brief background of conditions and events is in order here, and I do have a paper which details those events, but I'll just go over it very briefly. The plan by Columbia University, in collaboration with a government agency, the Public Development Corporation, was to develop this multi-million dollar experimental research center on genetics and biotechnology and biochemistry at the site of the Audubon Ballroom. Originally, they were going to use the Audubon structure, and that was what they told the Landmarks Preservation Commission in the city. When they changed their minds and decided to tear down the Audubon, they didn't notify anyone. And so the public only found this out this past fall of 1989, when it was exposed in an article which was published in a New York City newspaper, The Village Voice. The Landmarks Preservation Commission had listed the Audubon building as historically significant with the highest possible rating of significance. But because they had been promised by Columbia that the Columbia would not tear down the building, they'd never officially designated the building. And that's why one of our demands is to have the Landmarks Commission designate the building. Columbia's plan to build this experimental research center, as I stated before, requires a special permit because it is illegal. And a A research center of that sort does not exist in a major city or heavily populated area anywhere in the United States, to our knowledge. The plan has to undergo a process in city government to be approved. And part of our task in the coalition was to identify that process and to identify other legal processes through which we could attack this plan. So we have consistently organized people to attend the public hearings that are necessary for approval. These boards have to take a vote, but they first have to hear from the public. And the overwhelming sentiment at each one of these public hearings has been that the Audubon must be preserved, that the Audubon must remain a monument to the legacy of Malcolm X. There are a couple of other points inside the story of the struggle to save the Audubon that I'd like to touch upon. One is that the primary factor of struggle is the mobilization of our people. It's been a struggle because Columbia University, in collaboration with the city, has maintained control of the press and the media so that the controversy had not been covered until very recently. Or it had not been covered as a controversy, and people thought that it was just something that was going to slide through and be approved. But now they're beginning to see, because of the tactics that we've had to use to get attention drawn to this controversy, that the people are opposed. Another subject I wanted to touch on before I move on to analyze our strategies and tactics and the significance of this struggle is the state response. The response of the state to the people in their struggle has always been historically, and is in this particular struggle, and always will be as long as U.S. monopoly capitalism, capitalist imperialism exists, to oppress and repress and attack the people. One of the moves that has been going on is by the youth is a weekly rally at the Audubon to reestablish the Audubon as a center for culture. The first rally that we held, after the first rally that we held, a group of us left together and were followed by police, and further down in Harlem were stopped and attacked, beaten and arrested and detained for hours. This is the state response to our attempts at organization. Another instance was a public meeting which was being held by the community board. Anyone from the community can come to these public hearings, public meetings. And this was the meeting in which a vote was going to be taken by the community board. So the public came because we wanted to know what the vote was going to be. The police prevented the public from attending the public meeting. And city officials who were notified that this had happened were in consensus with the police and were in consensus with their interests, because they know that their interests are in repressing the people. Once again, you can get the sheet to detail the different events that have happened, but I just wanted to give you a brief outline of some of the different factors in the struggle. Now I'd like to deal with the significance of the struggle to save the Audubon as an issue which manifests the sharpest contradictions of our society, and which presents the opportunity for understanding and fulfilling the legacy of Malcolm X. by any means necessary, methods of struggle. The grassroots agitation, mobilization, and organization of the people is of primary importance in this and any struggle. For youth, as I mentioned, this has taken the form of weekly rallies outside the Audubon to reclaim its cultural and political character. Other programs and propaganda are also geared toward the synthesis of facts, ideas, and actions. Involvement in the legal process of state bureaucracy involves a twofold objective, the theoretical feasibility of victory in this arena, and the delegitimization or exposure of its corrupt racist structure. For instance, our youth now know concretely that although we can pressure and affect the community board is not and was not intended to be representative of our community. Our youth now see how an institution such as the Landmarks Preservation Commission is used to beautify and instill pride in every community except ours. Although we remain hopeful at this point that the Landmarks Commission will designate the Audubon Building a National Historic Landmark, perhaps based purely on the righteousness of such an action, we also cannot forget the objective reality of racist disregard for our people by the state. Therefore, part of our objective reality is to be prepared for heightened confrontational situations if we are indeed committed to struggle. That takes us back to the primary importance of maintaining and building the agitation and organization of our people so they will be primed and ready to respond to any necessary call to action. The legacy of Malcolm X, political development of black youth. The significance of the following points is that they present the opportunity for our people to relate the particular contradictions involved to the general contradictions, or the specific issue to the general condition. For instance, the issue of self-determination is crucial to the largely Dominican neighborhood within which the Audubon is located. They are poor, overcrowded, politically underrepresented, with the worst school district and least community services in the borough of Manhattan in New York City, and have no centers for cultural expression. That community needs to be able to decide what is built or developed there. But by extension, it is clear that in any area where people of African descent are located, these conditions occur. And self-determination is a principle which needs to be taken up collectively by all oppressed people of African descent. The principle of self-defense, which I also mentioned earlier, is operable here. The specters of gentrification and genocide are very real in the neighborhood of the Audubon. Columbia University, in particular, has a history of policies which drive out and alienate the community from the area. In their hospital across the street from the Audubon, Columbia's hospital, there are reports of experimentation on people. And we cannot forget that it took Columbia's doctors some 30 minutes to cross the street to come to Malcolm's aid when he was shot in the Audubon ballroom. The area is plagued by the drug crack and AIDS. Reports indicate that both these killers were invented in scientific laboratories of the sort which Columbia now proposes to build in this neighborhood. We must defend ourselves, and we will. Malcolm taught us that internationalism is key to our struggle. As oppressed Africans in the Americas, we hold that the problems of the Dominicans in the Audubon neighborhood are the problems of blacks in the entire Harlem area, are the problems of Africans in this neighborhood. We must defend ourselves, and we will. Malcolm taught us that internationalism is key to our struggle. As oppressed Africans in the Americas, we hold that the problems of the Dominicans in the Audubon neighborhood are the problems of blacks in the entire Harlem area, are the problems of Africans.